Glad to be here this morning. My wife was testifying about how the Lord spared me from a near death, and I sure thank the Lord this morning for that. Getting hit with it. It was a track hole, not a back hole. It doesn't really matter. They both hurt. I am so thankful to be alive this morning. I'm really not supposed to be here by the laws of nature, but God has had mercy upon me, and I really appreciate it. I couldn't tell everything that happened because I didn't know what happened. I'm working, and all of a sudden, I'm gone. I had no clue what happened to me. I didn't know where I was at. Next thing I knew, these guys was, somebody was, I couldn't make faces or anything out. But anyway, the Lord had mercy upon me, and I really, really appreciate the Lord today and His goodness to us. He is very good to help us in time of need. I desire your prayers this morning. I may not be here very long, but I really desire God to help us today. My thought this morning is the process. And going through the process of life, God is trying to do some special things in our life. And as I look around and I see some of the young sisters carrying their babies and their husbands gone from them, and they're not around to help them, that touches my heart. I don't know what that was like. But when I see the single parents, when I see their struggles that they're having, you young mothers, our hearts and our prayers are with you today. I know if you stay faithful to God, you're going to have a heavenly home. You're going to be welcome one day into the hands of God, and He's going to help you. But with all of us, with all of us today, we are going through a process. And it's a struggle in life. It's a struggle to make it. It's a struggle to keep the victory in our life. And there's a process. God is working, and He's endeavoring to go through some steps with us to help us to bring forth fruit in our life. The book of Psalms 66 and 12. Can someone read that for me, please? Psalms 66 and 12. I'd like to talk about David this morning for a while, and but read this for me, if you don't mind.
Now, as God's men ride over our heads,
yes,
we went through fire and through water,
but thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place.
Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. Thou hast caused us to go through fire and through water. You know, when someone rides over your head, when you find yourself in a place where you should be able to speak, you should be the one that should be able to say a final word or something, and you're snuffed out. People don't want your opinion, or you're not really needed. You find yourself sometimes in a place where everybody's invited but you. It kind of leaves you in a little place there. You can get your feelings hurt if you're not careful. But you know, the thing that I like about this scripture, you brought us through fire and you brought us through the water. You've caused men to ride over our heads, but you have brought us into a wealthy place. A wealthy place, a place where when God blesses us and when He gives us special help, there's nothing that really you can compare to the blessings of God in times of trial, in times of test, in times of difficulty. That wealthy place this morning and bringing forth fruit, more fruit and much fruit I'm interested in that today. I'm interested in us, the people of God, being in more wealthy places. You know, when it comes to prayer meeting night, when it comes to prayer meeting, we come in. And I know there's times that we go through that's kind of quiet, but folks, listen, when we're in a wealthy place, there's been times that we've been close to God. Wealthy places are close connections. Wealthy places are places that are very valuable to us. And when it comes time, we come in prayer meeting and we sit there sometimes and it's just quiet and we think, oh, is anybody here? Is anybody here? I remember what Brother Murphy Allen did one time. They told me I wasn't there, but Brother Murphy, it was kind of slow. Nobody would pray. Nobody would say anything. I don't know. You pastors that are here this morning, I know you're grinning internally. You're thinking, oh, keep going, preacher. You're really hitting the nail on the head, and I don't have to do it, and you can do it. So I'm going to tell you, there's times we wonder, where's everybody at? You know, when you've been in a close contact with God, there's been places that you have found yourself in that has put you in a real needy place. You've been rode over. You've went through some difficult places. You've gone through some places that are real pressing to the flesh. They cause you to cry. They cause you to wonder and struggle. Which way's up? What am I doing here? How did I get here? You know, when you've struggled and you've had your difficulties with the enemy of our souls, we find that wealthy place with God. When it comes time for prayer meeting, there's going to be a spark of life there. There's going to be something that it ignites. There's something about it when you've been struggling with Satan and you've had your tussle with him. You've had your problems with him, but you've managed to make it through. You've managed to get to the end. And you have a testimony. It's something very special. Folks, I want to encourage you this morning. Let us go through the process. Whatever it takes, Lord, I want you to help me. I want you to be glorified in my life. I want to be faithful through the process. The book of, I want to read about David here, something that I picked up, and I'm not a very good artist, but I want you to envision I'm going to get in trouble. If we're not experiencing some kind of difficulty, and I know you really love that, but if there is, let's just say life is going by with a song. You're having, what's that old song? A zippity-doo-dah day. Those of you hadn't heard that, that's fine. But you're just going through, and here is this little man or woman, and they are having, they're just going up, and there's no restrictions inside that little place. They're just, they're having a wonderful time. But if you put a bottleneck and you change this just a little bit, we're just going to change a part of it. And you put this little fella, about a man or woman, you put him up in here and you try to get him through that bottleneck. And especially if they're a little bit oversized, it'll be going through those bottleneck places and squeezing. Somebody said, you know, in the bottom, these old barrels, they used to have what they called a bunghole. And it was a tiny drain. They would pull that out and let everything out. One old brother said, if you can get enough grace, God can pull you through that bunghole. That's that thing just about that big around, and it's at the bottom of the barrel. I'm not talking about coming through the big opening. I'm talking about coming in the bottom one. That's what it's like when we go through the... That is not a very good looking thing. But, and I would probably look like that too whenever the Lord begins to cause us to go through processes. You know what? You understand me this morning. When you're facing trials and tests and things, you didn't ask for them. I didn't ask to get my jaw broke. I didn't ask to get hit in the back of the head of the track. I didn't ask for a lot of things that's happened to me. I didn't ask for them. But it happened. You didn't ask to be single. You didn't ask to have afflictions on your body this morning. You didn't ask to be going through grief and pain. You're not asking for it. But I'm just telling you, God has a way of taking his people through a process. And he wants us to bear fruit, more fruit, and much fruit, even in the process. Can you see what's going to squeeze out of this fellow going up through there? Can you see what comes out of us sometimes when we lack patience, when we lack endurance, when we're lacking things in our life? God comes by and, oh, you know, if you would just ring out, if you would just see all the stuff coming out, I don't mean to be too expressive, but can you imagine the puddle of pride? The puddle of pride that's being squeezed out of this fella. Imagine that pride, and the Lord saying, "Oh, you're not finished yet. I've got a little more squeezing to do. You've got some things inside there that I want to work on. I'm trying to work on you. I'm trying to cause you, because you haven't got into heaven, and I haven't got into heaven. And there's things that God wants to speak to our hearts about. He wants to work their imperfections. They're things that's very difficult. There's things, young people, God wants, he'll put you through a process. He'll cause friends that you once had, that you were very close to, friends that was there very nice to you and everything, but all of a sudden things took a change and you started living for God. I remember the feeling, the first feeling that I had, someone that didn't want to be around me because I was living for the Lord. I remember that feeling, and it's not something that you just cherish, that, oh, I can't wait till the next person rejects me. When that next one comes along and tells me, you know, we got something else to do. It's not one of those feelings that you just really treasure. But again, when I think of the process that God is going through, can you learn how to go on without a bad attitude? Can you learn to keep traveling on and you not be in the top spot? Look around and see, is there a puddle of pride? Whoops, there's something coming out of me, Lord. I feel like I've been humiliated. I feel humiliated. God has a way of doing that in a gentle way. Folks, he's not just trying to just squeeze but he'll gently take us through. He's a gentle shepherd. Please don't ever think that God is just trying, you know, and I hear sometimes people say, well, harsh things about God. No, listen, I can tell you, even with a hard blow to the head, I never felt anything. I never felt, and it should have killed me. I never felt. They said it knocked me 12 feet. I don't know. But I can tell you one thing. We have a Heavenly Father that cares for us. He cares for our needs. He cares for where we're at. And he doesn't want you to fail in the process. The process. And, you know, as you get older, there's things that just happen. God doesn't want you to feel like you're doing this all alone and that you're having to be real tough and everything. He's going to bring you through the process in such a loving way. Really, you'll not even know what happened when it's over. You'll look back and say, Lord, how did that ever happen? How did you ever get that out of my life? How did you ever work that? Our Heavenly Father this morning is endeavoring to help us each one to make heaven our home. Let's look in the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel, the 16th chapter. I want to read to you about David. David. The 11th verse of the 16th chapter. And I know this is very familiar, but some things really stood out in my mind when I read this. Samuel said unto Jesse, they're looking for a king. They're looking for the ones that should be the oldest, the tallest, the best looking, and all of these things. And God had another plan. He said, are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest. And behold, he keepeth the sheep. Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him. For we will not sit down till he come hither. You see, God's ways are not our ways. When Jesse's thinking, I'm going to first send out my eldest. I'm going to let you see those that have reached maturity. Those that have really, they're supposed to be in line to be the, you know, if anybody's going to be rewarded, look like it's going to be these. And don't you have anybody else? I'm not getting a signal from God. He's not telling me this is the right one. He sent and brought him in, and he was ruddy with all of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Do you know, a lot of things were going on in David's life. There was a process. There was a way that God had of working with David. And I want to say to us this morning, God has a calling on each of our lives. Every one of us has a calling, a special calling. You're special to God. He's not made any trash. He's not made anybody that you're too big, you're too small, you're this size, or your hair color, you're what? Forget that. You're special to Him. He's got a special place for you. He's got a place that He wants to work with you if you'll let Him. And so here we find the youngest. Here we find this young man come bouncing in. And the Lord said, that's the one. And with everything that David had in his life, still the call of God was there. Anoint him. This is him. And now I'm gonna fast forward here. I'm going to go past the slaying of the giant. I'm going to go past the anointing, and I'm going to go past to a next phase in David's life. Not Saul chasing him. I'm not going to talk about that. But I want to look in 2 Samuel, the 5th chapter. I'm going to say that after David had struggled with Saul, after he'd been anointed, after killing the giant, here comes something that I've really stopped and looked at that I think that is very important to us today to look at in our own spiritual lives. He said here in this next 2 Samuel 5:1-5, then came all the tribes of Israel to David unto Hebron and spake, saying, behold, we are thy bone and thy flesh. Also in time past, when Saul was king over us, thou wast he that led us out and brought us in Israel. And the Lord said to thee, thou shalt feed my people Israel, and thou shalt be captain over Israel. So all the elders of Israel came to the king to Hebron, and King David made a league with them in Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years. In Hebron he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months, and in Jerusalem he reigned 33 years over all Israel and Judah. I want you to notice a few things here. Look at the times, look at the dates, and I want you to think about something. 7 years, David was king over Judah. And where's the rest of the people? Where's all the other tribes? Have you failed to see me? I'm the king. Don't you understand? I'm the king. And the first year went by, and the second year went by. Nobody recognized me. Nobody thought, wait a minute, where's all the other tribes? How come they're not included in here? How come I'm not reigning over them? Do you know there's a part in this that I see today that's good for us to remember? Because I'm not recognized. Just because I'm not being recognized doesn't mean God isn't doing a work and I'm going through a process. Do you remember the second giant that David faced? That I believe it was Ishbi-Benob or whoever that. There was a man and they got down in the pit and David almost lost his life. Do you ever think about that story? I guess the people, I wasn't there, but I'm going to suppose the people thought, well, you did a pretty good job with Goliath. You take the honors now and you just have him. You do the job on him. And he about lost his life. Do you know something? When I look at that, the name of that giant, and I believe it's his name translated into pride, and I think about all the years of accomplishment that David had, and now it's just like, here's another little job. Let me do it. I'll take over. There's no problem. I'll handle him. And I think about the 7 year delay. What was God working on? What was he saying? When you sum it all up and you look and see what God was working on, there was something there he was interested in. And David had some pride. The old giant of pride every one of us will face. Every one of us will face that man. It will be something difficult and all of us have to deal with it. And I tell you something today, it'll slay you if you're not careful. It will slay you. David could have said, how come it took you all so long to come here to me and recognize that I've been leading the people of God? 7 years has lapsed and nobody's came to talk to me about this. Why haven't you been here earlier? I have a feeling God had a process to put David through. And I have a feeling this morning that every one of us have faced reverses and we face things that have been difficult. We've gone backwards in some places. We've gone and reverted back and done things, and it looks like, well, why is all this happening to me? To me. It's because God is taking you through the process. Young people, don't be discouraged when it seems like there's things that happen and you go backwards. Don't feel bad about it. God's working with you. He's still working on me. That little song said, to make me what he ought to be. He's still working on you today. That process. You know, when I think of David, and I think about this next big event in his life, he faced temptation. And remember this. Temptations with unlimited power is deadly to you. If you don't have the restrictions of God, if you haven't learned how to face things that are difficult and you don't have some handicap, I'm going to tell you, having unlimited power and facing temptations is what happened to David. I'm king. You know, there's probably the thinking, I am the king. I can have everything. Everything around here is mine. Mine. All of those things. And he looked around, unlimited power. And what happened? The temptation took him under. I want to tell you today, whenever our life is going through like a song and we're going up in them and through life and a whistling and carry, you know, just I love freedom. I'm not saying you have to be inhibited all the time, but I'm just saying there's little handicaps and restrictions and processes that God is putting you through to keep you from evil. My mom was a country girl, and she had chickens when we lived in town. We had chickens as a boy, and I love them today. I'd love to have some, and I live in the country. But anyway, my mom would have to clip those chickens' wings to keep them from flying over the fences because they started getting into neighbors' flower beds, and they started getting into different things. Mama went out there, and I could not hardly bear to watch her take those scissors, and she only cut one wing. That chicken had tried to get out of it, it couldn't do it. You know, God has a process in which he restricts us. If you're a child of God and without chastisement this morning, claiming to be a child without chastisement, it could be that we are illegitimate. God takes his people, some through the fire and some through the flood, some through water, but all through the blood. God leads his dear children along. And folks, he's interested again. Malachi 3:2 says, someone get that for me. And Malachi 3:2, and I'm going to read Isaiah 31:9. Yes, who may abide the day of his coming?
And who shall stand when he appeareth?
Who shall stand when he appeareth?
For he is like a refiner's fire.
Yes.
And like fuller's soap.
He is like a refiner's fire and fuller's soap. Have you ever felt like, Lord, I don't know what you're doing here in my life, but don't look like there's about anything left. Looks like about everything's gone. I don't have much left. And the Lord's saying, yeah, you're right in the place I want you to be. I've got you down there now where I can use you. When David was small, when David started off, and when Saul was small in his own eyes, when many of us, we think that the more popular I am, the better, the more useful I can be. The more this, I can be more useful. God has a way of wringing us out in this squeeze-out area. And he keeps us in a place where he wants to really use us, folks. He's got a way of doing that. He's like a refiner's fire and a fuller's soap. He's got a way of getting us clean. He's got a way of keeping us clean. Here in Isaiah the 31st chapter and the 9th verse, and he shall pass over his stronghold for fear, and his princes shall be afraid of the ensign, saith the Lord, whose fire is in Zion. That's the part of the scripture. The fire that is in Zion. Zion is the church, and there's a fire in the church. We don't ever want to put that out. We don't want to get to a place where we feel like, oh, if I didn't have all these restrictions, if I didn't have all these... Be careful, because I read to you, temptations with unlimited power will bring a fall. It'll cause you to fall. It'll cause me to fall. Temptations with unlimited power, with no restrictions. Guess what? You'll be a spoiled person. You ever see spoiled people? Spoiled children? Well, adults can be that way. I've dealt with a few. Children can be spoiled. They want their way. I've got to have my way or I'll throw a fit. This lady was in the store one time and her child said, Mom, can I have some chocolate chip cookies? No, you can't have no chocolate. And there they were, and she wanted to teach the child, just be patient and wait, and kept throwing a fit, and finally said, in Jesus' name, can I have a chocolate chip? And she didn't want nobody to... You know, they were scrambling to get those chocolate chip cookies. That just anything children can do to get their way. You know, sometimes we're adults that we do the same thing. If I can just have my way and I can manipulate this one and speak to this one over here and I'll get my way. Watch out for those kind of things. It works sometimes. People want their way so much. They want their way. They don't give in very easy. They're headstrong. And the bottom line is, I got to have my way. And if you don't go my way, you'll know about it. You'll hear about it from me. Yes, you will. And I'll throw a fit and I won't come. And I'll walk out on you. You pastors have people walk out on you when you're preaching. Oh, that feels good, don't it? But you'll find that in humanity, in our makeup, our natural tendencies lead downward. Our spiritual lives. We're talking about developing our spiritual lives and maturing spiritually and having depth and having insight, having patience and kindness and all the fruit of the Spirit working in our life. It's very vital for us this morning that we learn the restraints of the Lord. The Bible said it's good that a man bear the yoke in his youth. It is good to learn the restraints of the Lord when we're young. It's good to have those restraints put on us. It's good to feel that restraint. Some call it restrictions, but you know, it's a safety. It's a safety. One time we were probably doing something maybe we shouldn't have been doing, but we're going down this rock wall. It was about 40 feet down. And to have that restraint on you felt pretty good. It didn't feel so good up there when you're just walking. But when you come down and your weight is being suspended and your life is in the tangled up in just that little cord that's come, you feel pretty secure. And in God, I'm telling you, with God around to come by and to show us where the sides are. And to show us where we can go, it just, there's something secure about it. Many times children, they will push the envelope. They'll push and they'll find out, they'll ask questions and they'll do so many things. They want to know how secure you are. They want to know where you're at. If you feel secure in your life, if you don't, those children are very insecure. I see it sometimes, you know, working with children, if they don't feel a security in you and you don't have that personal restraints and have that calmness and peace in your life, when difficult things happen, your children, it comes out in them. But when you have that inward security and you have that balance inside, those children feel that. They feel like, Mom and Dad's in control. We can do it. We can do it. So may the Lord bless us this morning. Zechariah 13, 8 and 9. I won't read that, but it said there's three parts. You're going to take the two of them is going to die, and there's going to be a third part that's saved, but it's going to go through the fire. If you want to be a part, we've got to go through the fire. That's what it takes. Jeremiah 10 and 23 says, the way of man is not in himself. It is not in our own disposition to desire this process in life. It's not our own makeup. We'll shirk from it. We'll go another direction. We'll try everything we can to keep from going that way. But you know, God has a way of bringing us through the fire, all intact, just like he did the three Hebrew children. They came out with not even the smell of smoke, and it burnt everything up around them. So may the Lord bless us today. This process of God is so important to us. It's so important that we learn the things of God and his teaching, his lessons that he brings to us. I'd like to read something. This scripture really means a lot to me this morning. The third chapter of John and the 12th verse. Jesus was speaking here and he said this: if I have told you earthly things and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? Our next step, our next advancement, our progress spiritually is hinged on us hearing and obeying the voice of God. Going through the process, I thought of the scripture that said, if you have run with the footman and you got tired at that and you missed the paces whenever there was just simple things that was happening, showing up for prayer meeting, showing up for service, getting out of bed and being there on time. Lord help us. If you've missed some of the basics and you've missed some of the minor things, how are we going to advance into larger things? How are we going to go forward if we've missed out going through the process of the small things? Jesus said, if I've told you earthly things and you didn't believe them, how are we going to go to this next step when I start speaking of heavenly things? You see, it depends. Our success in life, it depends on going through the paces. It depends on us being faithful to God in the small things. It's the little things. The little foxes spoil the vine. So this morning you might be asking, okay, I've been diagnosed with cancer. This might be real. And you're telling me that God is going to get the glory in my life out of that. This is a very real question. It's very real. So I'm looking ahead now and I'm seeing things that looks pretty bleak for me. All I can think of is the pain. All I can think of is the suffering. Well, it's a very difficult place to be in. But I believe our God is going to help us. Let's not look too far ahead. You know, there's a little song we sing once in a while that says, count the milestones one by one. No counting, only trusting. It is better farther on. Yeah, farther on, but how much farther? That's the question comes to mind. How long will this have? How long will we pray like David? How long, O Lord, how long? Will that be? Will we be able to make it from day to day? I remember again, Brother Murphy Allen, one time, he had went through so many things. So many things. And that cancer had ate on him so bad. He said, Brother Murphy, would you do it all over again? He said, what'd you say? He said, would you do it all over again? He said, oh, sure. And he just laid back. That confidence that he had stabilized me. It helped me. And I hope this morning we're not just looking and counting the miles, counting everything, but we've got a calm assurance and reliance in God that, Lord, you're my heavenly Father. You care for me and you're going to take me through this. And I want to be faithful to you. Whatever comes, I want to be faithful to you. I do believe, dear ones, this morning, we have our dear Heavenly Father that's going to watch out for us. This process we're talking about, and you know, changing from this body to the next body is not always an easy thing. But He has a way of keeping us saved, clear to the very end. And I do believe it's more than just a, you know, He's come to give us life, and He come to give us life more abundantly. And I believe God is going to see us through, dear ones. May the Lord help us all today. Going through the process, you know, I want to be faithful. And I believe you do too. Be faithful to your Heavenly Father. He cares for you. And He is going to bring us through. Don't let the thoughts of the fire and the water. Some people are deathly afraid of water. I used to be. But you know, there's certain times I might get a little alarmed, but you know, sometimes going down deep in water and it gets so dark and it starts getting cold and you can't even see your hand in front of your face and you feel on the bottom. You just feel that that's kind of scary. But you know, the Lord has promised to be with us, to take away our fears. He's promised to help us, to give us special strength in times of need. And I want to praise the Lord this morning for His presence with His people. This process we're talking about, it's just a means of getting us over into the other side. And I pray that each one of us will be faithful to the Lord. If you're young people, old people, whatever we're feeling this morning, Lord, help us that fear will not be part of our life. Fear will not be something that directs us and has an overriding part, but we'll be calm and we'll be a trusting people relying on the Lord to help us. I trust the Lord will bless each one of you today. I want you to pray for me. I want to be faithful through the process. It's just our Heavenly Father working with us and showing us His ways and giving us strength as we go. Amen.